Welcome back in, hour number three of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions, right here. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in the great and powerful John Glennon from SI.com and NHL.com as well. John, what's going on, brother? How are we doing?
I am doing well. I enjoy that new intro. That's a good one. Let's stick with that one, Robbie.
We will stick with the great and powerful John Glennon. That's going to be something we do
as
we move
forward. Straight from Williamsburg. You just vacationed in Williamsburg,
very
Virginia,
nice.
By the way.
Very nicely done. John, we appreciate you taking time to join us this morning.
Absolutely, yes. And I just wanted to point out that Williamsburg does indeed still have the statue commemorated to the place where Joe Rex Road got married. So
there you go.
Very, very impressive statue there.
At Paul's Deli, yes.
That's right. It's a statue of you drinking.
That's right. Oh, goodness. That's very representative. John, so as we've talked about on the show today, Ryan Tannehill, under some, I don't know if heat's the right word, but some skepticism right now from Titans fans based on the turnovers that he's had as of late. As you look ahead to this game, realizing that it is the Jacksonville Jaguars we're talking about, how big is this game for Ryan Tannehill coming off the bye week based on the way he's performed so far this season?
Yeah, you know, I think it's certainly a big one because, you know, we're not used to seeing the kind of season that Ryan Tannehill has had this year. And you know, as we've talked about before, I think there are, you know, certainly a number of contributing factors. It's a depleted wide receiver group. He hasn't had, you know, the right chemistry with a lot of the guys that he's throwing to. You know, the offensive line at times has been shaky. All that said, you know, you can't be throwing, you know, five interceptions over two games and 13 and, you know, about that same number of games as well. It's just not going to work. So, you know, whether that means Ryan Tannehill has to take fewer chances with the group that he has now, you know, whether that means throwing the ball away a few times more per game instead of taking those chances, you know, those are certainly some options. But whatever it is, even with all those qualifying factors, Ryan Tannehill can't be throwing the number of interceptions because turnovers have just buried the Titans the last 2 weeks. And, you know, the group that they have now offensively, you're not going to be able to score 30 points a game and overcome those kinds of turnovers.
So do you think there's a confidence issue with him? Do you think it's shaken? And did his body language at the press conference yesterday lead you to feel one way or the other on that?
Interesting. I don't get the sense yet that there's a confidence issue with Ryan Tannehill. You know, I think he understands what he is working with. You know, but in the back of his mind, I do wonder if, you know, everybody, you know, outside, I think, of Nashville has been waiting for the R word to kick in, and I mean regression by that. You know, everybody that watched him extensively in Miami is always waiting and expecting, you know, the Ryan Tannehill of Miami days to come back at some point. And we hadn't really seen it, you know, those kinds of numbers up until this last season. So that's my only concern if I'm thinking of Ryan Tannehill, is that maybe somewhere in the back of his mind, he gets a little fearful about, you know, slipping back to those days of yore. But, you know, honestly, I don't see that confidence shaken at this point. You know, he's still gripping and ripping on most occasions. So I'm curious, Joe, what did you see from the body language yesterday?
Nothing at all. It's I don't even have time to get into why. As like Jared on his show, like spent like half the show on how like his lack of eye contact tells you he's going to throw four picks against the Jags. I'm probably, you know, botching something there. But anyway, yeah, I don't know. But in all seriousness, on him, like, because I don't detect this. I'm with you, but I do on the field. You know, obviously we've seen the difference. I guess, you know, taking the external things out, we did see him throw a lot of picks, even like in camp. I mean, do you think there's a link from that all the way to this?
You know, you certainly can't rule it out, and you automatically, you know, you start trying to connect dots and coming up with theories and so forth too. And you know, you can't ignore the fact that, you know, that there's a new offensive coordinator also in Todd Downing. There, you know, a new play caller. So things have changed in that respect for Ryan Tannehill as well. You know, I still think, as I said, on most occasions, we're seeing him still gripping and ripping in terms of throwing the ball. And I think that's what Mike Vrabel, you know, still wants him to do for the most part. You know, I think when we look back at Marcus Mariota, for instance, I think some of the problems with Marcus were that he became so concerned, you know, with turnovers and mistakes and doing the wrong thing that he became very hesitant in the pocket, and that's when we saw even more sacks and really even more turnovers. So I think, you know, if you're the Titans and you're Mike Vrabel, you know, maybe you're walking a little bit of a fine line here. You know, you're saying on one hand, we can't have the turnovers. On the other hand, you know, the last thing you want is a very hesitant quarterback there who's afraid of making mistakes. So it's a tough call, but, you know, bottom line, as I say, especially with this offense that is not going to be able to put up 30 points a game until you get some players back, you just can't be, you know, coughing up 3-4 turnovers a game and losing that battle and expecting to outscore opponents.
John Glennon on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. John, what's your concern level that David Long Jr. not on the practice field yesterday, still dealing with that hamstring injury?
Yeah, I think it's a fairly high one at this point. You know, you would have liked to see that bye week you know, make a big difference, and to a lot of guys, it has. You know, we saw a lot of names coming back, whether it's Rashawn Evans or, you know, Ola Adeniyi, Nate Davis, you know, Jeremy McNichols, and of course, guys still on IR like Julio Jones and Dane Cruikshank and Racy McMath were out there too. But yeah, David Long, who has proved really an integral figure in the defense this year, was still not there. You know, I think the positive side there is they have not put him on injured reserve, you know, and said, look, we know he's going to be out for this amount of time. We need that roster spot. So go ahead and knock him out for three games. So that leads you to believe that it's still, you know, closer to healing than not. But at the same time, when you get that, you know, when you get that week off, that extra bit of healing and you're not out at practice on that first day, not such a great sign.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, that and even like Elijah Molden, hip, you know, still out there. That's honestly, John, because Rashawn Evans is back, so Jaron Brown, full participation, so, you know, you're going to be fine there. I do wonder what the corner group's going to look like Sunday again, which is not great. Like coming off an off week to be that uncertain, but I mean, who would play the slot, by the way? Like, if Molden is out, we know Chris Jackson's on IR. What's your corner trio?
Well, I think you would have to look at the recently signed Buster Skrine as your slot guy. Probably, you know, that's pretty much what he has played over the years. That's kind of his niche, his specialty, and I think that's the reason primarily that they signed him. So that's what my guess would be. He's in the slot. And maybe Christian Fulton, and I would think Greg Maben, you know, returned to practice yesterday. So probably him and Chris Jones getting a lot of playing time as well. So, yeah, I mean, I was asking Christian Fulton yesterday, you know, in terms of playing experience, you know, all of a sudden he's kind of the most, in a lot of ways, the most experienced guy, you know, Titans-wise, in the room all of a sudden. And he's a second-year guy who hasn't played very much, so he got a, you know, sort of a chuckle out of that. But, that's a concerning group. On the other hand, the kind of the good news here is you're playing Jacksonville. You know,
in theory.
Now, yeah, certainly Jacksonville gave them a good game last time around, especially in terms of the running the ball against the Titans by far. The most significant running attack that the Titans, you know, have faced. But it's kind of unbelievable a little bit when you go back and look at the Jaguars' recent games. And in four of their last six games, they have been held to 10 points or less. And in this day and age, in this NFL, to see those kind of numbers is sort of mind-blowing. One of those games was actually a win. You know, I think they beat Buffalo like 9-6 or
so. Oh, yeah.
Or a real thriller. That is maybe one, positive here is that, you're not necessarily facing Tom Brady or whoever this week, an offense that's going to be running up 30 or 35 points a game. So maybe if there's ever a decent time to be down a few corners, perhaps it's this week.
John, last thing for you here, switching gears to the Predators. Have you seen enough so far this season from Matt Duchene and Ryan Johansson to believe that this is what they're going to be as the season unfolds here?
Very good question. I think we've certainly seen a big upgrade in their games. We're moving on with the season now. We're past the quarter mark here of the season. And those two, and I think we should also point out Philip Forsberg. Really all three of those guys are performing above, last year's level. I asked John Hines, last time I was over there about the fact that those three are really now carrying the team, and that's kind of what you'd like to see. And he said, really, they'd had kind of significant conversations with each of those guys over the summer, and basically, very honest, candid conversations saying, more or less, paraphrasing, what has been going on before isn't cutting it. We need things to be a step better in terms of compete and battle levels and production. And we've seen that so far. And I think when those three guys are kind of pulling the team's weight, I think it's a pretty good indication. So to answer your question, maybe not quite yet. I want to see more. Give me at least half a season here before I'm sold, on the complete reversal in terms of Ryan and Matt Duchene, but certainly trending in the right direction.
Okay, real fast, Tony Elliott?
The more I read about him, the more I like him. Very, very bright guy, great recruiter, great relationships. Would I have liked to have seen Anthony Poindexter at UVA? Absolutely, but the more I read about Tony Elliott, I'm kind of in his corner.
Okay. Well, hey, you guys got the one win against Virginia Tech in a million years, and maybe in another decade or so you can get another one.
Well, not only that, maybe we can get two and double that amount under Tony Elliott.
Wow. Lennon, don't take that from Joe.
He's not even a true Hokie.
Hey,
he's a casual turkey.
Hey, hey, Glennon's always got Virginia basketball to make him feel better in the winter, right? So there we go.
Absolutely, we just lost to JMU, so we're in good shape.
John Glennon does a great job covering the Titans for SI.com and the Predators for NHL.com. Has been our guest here on Robbie and Rexha. John, appreciate you taking time to join us this morning.
Okay, thanks for having me, guys.
Absolutely. We'll come back, react a little bit to what John had to say there. Take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Don't miss Nashville's best NFL pregame show live from Boomba's Craft Pizza and Tap House in East Nashville this Sunday. The NFL pregame show features Jared Stillman, Mark Howard, and former Titans wide receiver Chris Sanders. You can join them from 9:30 to 11:30 a.m. live at Boomba's Craft Pizza and Tap House in East Nashville at 1003 Russell Street prior to the Titans taking on the Jacksonville Jaguars. The NFL pregame show brought to you by TriStar Moving, Parman Tractor and Equipment, FreedomTireGuys.com, FanDuel, E2 Roofing, Hillside Medical, Social Furniture, and Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, and YouTube. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. Thanks to John Glennon for joining us in the last segment. Some good news and some bad news on the injury report yesterday for the Titans. Julio Jones back out there on the field, participating in practice. Harold Landry, a limited participant in practice yesterday. David Long Jr., not a part of things at practice, still dealing with a hamstring injury. Elijah Molden not there as well. And Janoris Jenkins still out with the ankle injury. Overall, what did you think of the injury report of the Titans yesterday? And what's the biggest thing you're keeping your eye on as the week unfolds outside of Julio Jones on the field trying to remain healthy?
I'd say more good than bad, but still not good, not as good as I thought it might be. The best things are, to me, Nate Davis is out there full participant. So we may see potentially, the Titans starting offensive line, five guys, start and finish a game for the first time Sunday. Maybe. That, I think Rashawn Evans and Jayon Brown being full participants, that's, Ola Adeniyi being a full. Those are good things. You know, you want to see, like, Landry just be back to full. He's limited, but that may be a plan. You want to see Autry back to full. He's limited. Same, it could be the same sort of thing. The bet, I didn't even really consider, like, Elijah Molden still being, unable to go. And yep. I'm a little surprised that David Long, because like Glennon said, he wasn't put on IR. I mean, you could, at this point, I mean, you could have. If he's just going to be out this week and miss the game, then that, I think that would have been the same timetable, right?
Yeah.
So that's the worst part of it is David Long, hamstring DNP. It would be a great sign if he was able to do anything today and or tomorrow. And if not, then, yeah, how long is that thing going to be? Like I said, I mean, I think that the corner group is probably the most troubling or worrisome position going into Sunday. And it's funny that Glennon brought up how anemic Jacksonville's been on offense because, the Texans also have been that for a lot of this year, and they found a way, make some plays, couple Tyrod Taylor scrambles, and all of a sudden you lose to that team here. So,
well, I keep waiting this year for, like, at some point there to be this Trevor Lawrence game where he just eviscerates someone, and hoping it's not Sunday.
Yeah. It hasn't been. It has not gone well for him. Did someone say he hasn't thrown a TD pass since Halloween? Did I see that or hear that correctly? I should probably check on that before just throwing it wildly on the air, but it's something like that. It hasn't gone well. And again, with the Texans, it's not like they had all this offensive success. It was a sloppy day. The Titans turned it over left and right.
He threw one against Atlanta couple of weeks ago.
Oh.
But that's the one since
Halloween. So maybe one since Halloween.
Yep.
Okay. Yeah. So there's a lot of – I mean, the Trevor Lawrence thing is – it's interesting. It's kind of predictable. But
he's got 9 touchdowns and 10 picks this year.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Tannehill has
– Yeah.
More picks than TDs, too, does he not? I mean, people who are out on Trevor Lawrence right now, I just think it's like, but please,
yeah.
Please. But that's how it goes.
Tannehill has 14 touchdowns, 13 picks.
Oh, that's right. Okay. I apologize.
It's all good.
So I don't know that Trevor Lawrence is going to light anybody up, but I thought in the game at Jacksonville, which the Titans ended up pulling away, but – I thought he did some good things. He looks to me like a promising rookie quarterback. You shouldn't have expected him to come in for this team. First year coach, rookie, number one overall pick, and just be again. Peyton Manning threw what, 31 picks as a rookie? I mean, come on. It used to be that you only played as a rookie in extreme situations like that, and then it went like that, and people didn't give up on you. But now, the give up time is very fast.
Go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Indy Ben texting in. Nobody should be surprised that Tannehill has regressed this season, even before Henry went down. When you factor in the offseason losses on offense and failing to bring in quality pieces to replace those losses, you get a quarterback who's shown he needs everything working well around him to be successful. Also, Joe, props to you for putting Colts and Wentz hater Jared in his place yesterday. This coming from Indy Ben on the text line.
Jared's takes on the Colts are amazing. I think that's fine. I think, but I just think that what you said about him there, Indy Ben, is, again, it's true of all but how many quarterbacks in the history of this game. I mean, like Dan Marino, that dude ran about a 6.240. He was never sacked. Now, is it because he got the ball out fast? He was an incredible quarterback, incredible player. He also had terrific pass protection for most of his career. Like, they built around him. You have to have a good offensive line to be successful in the NFL, unless you have one of those just unicorn player. And again, even last year we saw what happened when Patrick Mahomes goes into a game and they can't protect for him.
He still did some incredible stuff, but they didn't score anything.
So, and then that, again, that's where, to me, it starts right there, and it does go to draft, trying to draft the offensive line, trying to get better there and get younger there, and not being able to draft players who help you, and then an ACL, and whatever happened to Nate Davis in the offseason, and the other guys are getting older, and you have a big regression up front, especially the first half of the year. I still think that's also where this team, I know the focus on Tannehill, he's got to play better for sure, but I think that's where this team could start to exceed maybe the lowered expectations here, is if that starting group up front can start to really gel. And I think that the rushing performance at New England wasn't promising. But let's remember, pass blocking and run blocking are two different things.
Mark from Paris texting in, three things I'm not a Tannehill fan. I've always thought he was average at best. I think you guys overlook what he did in Miami, and also think he's missing Smith as his OC. Rex Road, you were on point with Jared yesterday. It's sports talk, not what sport he wants to cover. I love the NFL and college football, but like to hear about college basketball as well. Lots of support for Joe Rexroad on the text line today.
Well, thank you, but I mean, lots of support during our debate yesterday on the text line for college basketball. Again, like, no one, like, how much have we talked about today? At all? I know you hate it, too. Like, Jared, you and Jared are on team, hate college basketball. That's fine. Be on that team.
But Joe and I love it.
Yeah, I mean, again, it's just like, we're not allowed to tweet about college basketball during college basketball games.
You tweet about whatever you want.
There are people in this town who very much love and follow college basketball. Do you disagree or agree with that?
I agree with that, yeah.
I mean, what?
Yeah.
So, thank you. Thank you for the support.
What do you think about Mark's comments there of Tannehill saying we overlook what he did in Miami and missing Arthur Smith, which we've probably not talked about enough this
yeah.
year? Like, I think there have been games where Todd Downing has done a really good job, but there's no question Arthur Smith was really, really good at his job.
Well, and you can't, like, I think sometimes people really connect and have a great relationship, and I'm sure it's just fine between Tannehill and Downing, but it did seem like Tannehill and Arthur Smith had a great connection and a great sort of like the way they looked at the game. And they talked about that all the time. So, or especially Tannehill. So, yeah, I think he misses him. I mean, I think that's part of it. I think Downing's done a fine job. I don't put that high on the list. And again, like Tannehill's still number one on the list when it comes to just like some of the dumb picks. I mean, you don't have to do that. You can take a sack.
Yeah. We'll continue the conversation on Ryan Tannehill. Get more of your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. That's coming up next. Attention, men. Have you been struggling with erectile dysfunction? Well, Hillside Medical Clinic has a breakthrough treatment for ED that does not require any pills, injections, or surgery. And right now, my friend Andrew joins me to tell us all about it. Andrew, what's going on? How are we doing?
Hey, I am doing well. I'll tell you, technology, it's changing pretty much everything. It finally is changing how we treat erectile dysfunction. Hillside Medical uses something called acoustic wave therapy. Backed by science, gentle pressure waves open up and regrow the blood vessels. Just think, more blood flow in the bedroom? That's a great thing. The reason so many men are doing it is they no longer have to turn to the pill.
So, Andrew, what kinds of studies have been done on this new technology?
It is significant. Most people have heard of Cambridge University, the Cleveland Clinic, the Journal of Sexual Medicine. They've all vetted our technology, showed it to be safe and effective, and that it led to a clinical increase in blood flow, exactly what a man with ED needs.
And Andrew, you've got a special offer if our listeners call in right now.
Yes, call us now if you're ready to regain your love life just in time for the holidays. Exam, assessment, and blood flow ultrasound. That's free this morning, plus a gift. You guys will love this. It produces immediate results in the bedroom, hundreds of dollars in value. Give us a call now. It's all no charge.
You heard it, guys. Put a stop to your erectile dysfunction by treating the root cause of the problem. Call Hillside Medical Clinic right now to qualify for that offer at 615-576-5000. That's 615-576-5000. Put a stop to your ED and regain your love life. Call Hillside Medical Clinic right now at 615-576-5000. ESPN 102.5 The Game in Music City Man Cave want to treat one lucky listener to a Monastay treatment package. Text. I'm struggling today, man. Text CAVE now to 615-737-1025 and be entered for a chance to win the Music City Man Cave Christmas giveaway. Text CAVE right now to 615-737-1025.
This might be a good time to replay your butchering of Michelle's name.
It was awful. It's been so good. Michelle's just the wheels are turning. That's the first time I've screwed up her name, though. I just want to point that out.
Yeah, you got Knezovic
immediately.
You nailed it immediately from the start. So you got to keep that in mind, Michelle.
I just bailed halfway through. As soon as I knew I screwed it up, I was like, well, that's it. It's over.
I was crying, re-listening to it. I was editing something, and then I heard that. It's way better the second time around. It was great, Robbie.
Michelle Knezovic. Yeah.
Good stuff. Like, eventually, we'll have, if we have a day where, we want to just play, greatest hits. A sitcom will have, one of those episodes where they just talk.
Oh, yeah.
Ah, and then remember that one time? And then they'll go to old scene, just, basically just filling. We could probably just have, mispronunciation stuff to fill
and the whole Brian Kelly episode.
We could do an hour of Skiatica.
Brilliant accents.
Yeah.
Something here. That's a Smithsonian level show right there from Friday.
Taking your thoughts on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Joe, we talked a lot about Ryan Tannehill earlier in the show, and I think this is a big game for him coming up on Sunday. I mean, it's the Jacksonville Jaguars. You're 8-4. You should win this game coming up on Sunday. We've had that conversation before, so I'm not putting anything out of the realistic possibility of what we could see coming up on Sunday against the Jags, but you're Tannehill. You've been turning the ball over left and right the last few weeks. This offense has been anemic as of late in terms of shooting themselves in the own foot. I mean, you ran for 270 yards a couple weeks ago, and you fumbled the ball twice. I mean, it's time for this offense to have a clean game. It's time for him to have a clean game. I think this is an important game for him coming up on Sunday against Jacksonville.
No, it really is. And even if, let's say, even if the Titans have, a 17-point lead in the third quarter, it's important for him to execute. I think every little bit of chemistry that you can build during games, it's still different than during practices. Obviously, he's gotten in a lot of work with Chester Rogers and Nick Westbrook-Ikhina, and he's going to keep working with those guys. But Julio Jones being out there with him would be huge, and it's just important for him. I do think it's a confidence game. To the earlier texter's point last segment, and we've talked about this a million times, but the whole Miami Tannehill thing, Tannehill was better in Miami than people think, I believe. But it wasn't great. Obviously they decided to move on from him. I think the injury, the shoulder and the knee, had a lot to do with that. He had some actually tremendous statistical years there, without a running game for the most part, without a very good defense for the most part. Like, if you want to talk about quarterbacks being supported, he was among the least supported during that era, by the thing that Mike Sando did recently for The Athletic, which was pretty interesting. But, I mean, he wasn't great. I think he was good. I think some people think Miami Tannehill was bad.
Cheeks.
Yeah, he wasn't cheeks. He wasn't dog water. If you go the scale, what's the scale? Is it trash, dog water, then cheeks?
That's correct.
Okay. Yeah, he wasn't any of that. And he was pretty good. He just wasn't what you hoped when you drafted him where you drafted him, which makes him like what percentage of quarterbacks who go that high in the draft?
Pretty high number.
90? Is that right? What would we say? I mean, probably, right?
Probably close, yeah.
So, but, I mean, look, the people have been waiting to pounce on the regression thing and anyone saying that he's dependent on Derrick Henry. Well, absolutely. Any quarterback would love having that running back behind them.
Right. Now, not every quarterback would be dependent on having him, but you're talking about, I mean, how many guys in the league right now are you talking about that, the question that we always get brought up on the text line or, it's even in Gentry's story that we referenced earlier, the ability to just carry a team on your back. How many guys in the league do you feel good about at the quarterback being able to do that with this group that the Titans have out there right now?
Well, again, so Patrick, yeah, I mean, so you got Mahomes and Rodgers and
I'd probably still feel okay about Brady.
Yeah. But again, even with Mahomes, all of a sudden protection is not there. Your offensive line's banged up. They can't block anyone. And they're going against great pass rushers, by the way. That's the key to the Bucs Super Bowl, by the way. But
no disrespect to the Pharaoh.
Not at all. But so what happens to Patrick Mahomes? I mean, he's completing passes while at a 45 degree angle or whatever. But he can't get the job done. So, yeah, it's a very small percentage. And even that small percentage, it's a team game.
The ultimate
people
team
don't,
game.
It's the ultimate. Or maybe not. Is it the ultimate team? What is the ultimate team game? Maybe we should do that segment.
Maybe so.
I mean, the hockey Everybody people has will tell you, the you know, you got to play defense and offense. Basketball, you got to play defense and offense.
I mean, when you think about it, it's all very reliant upon the team. I mean, I guess in baseball, like if you got a pitcher, it's just dealing. You still got to hit, though.
But that's at least like there's a one-on-one confrontation,
yep.
Right? I mean, obviously tennis is.
The arguments on this would be iconic on the text line.
Yes, it would. I think football, ultimate team sport.
I think just it's the number of people.
11 people on each side of the ball.
And just the all the little things. I mean, we break down football like no other sport, right? I mean, the intricacies of and coaches do. And they get into little matchups that you have one good matchup up front and you try to expose that. So I would probably agree with you.
Andrew on the text line. Brady is much better when Fournette is running well. Rodgers has always had a sneaky good run game. Nothing wrong with needing a good run game. I mean, who wants to be like the Bills? That is a good point.
Yeah, I mean Rodgers has had – yeah, like Rodgers, I think the win at Arizona this year, there's a great example of the guy's just – it's stupid.
It's different.
Yeah, it's different. Yep. So no one's ever said – like, we've never argued Tannehill's top tier, however big the top tier is, and it's probably usually about, what, 3, 4, 5 people?
Yeah.
We've never argued that, and he's not going to be that. But, like, the idea that you can't win a championship with him or that, you know, this is exposing him as somewhere on the trash, dog water, cheek scale, I mean, that's a little bit overstating things.
Chase McKay brings up a great point. NASCAR, a team sport, the tire changer doesn't get that tire on, you got some real problems. That is true.
And a lot of people think, what do people think about? They only think about the driver.
The driver. Got to get that pit crew in there, man.
That's right.
Pit crew's crucial.
It is. I mean, run out of gas.
I mean, I guess like.
You'd really be screwed.
I mean, tennis, you know, it's like your coach yelling stuff at you from the stands.
Yeah. Which is some of my favorite things on the earth. Like when Novak Djokovic is just giving it to somebody. It's awesome. Love it.
There's a team involved.
Or if your doubles partner messes up.
Yeah, right. We're really getting in the weeds now on the ultimate team sport
conversation. Golf? Maybe so. Caddying is very important.
Get the yardage wrong?
That's right.
Join ESPN The Game Nashville and Newton Motor Group as we team up this holiday season to help children in Middle Tennessee with Souls for Music City. More than 4,000 children in the metro area experience homelessness and over 18,000 in Middle Tennessee. The Game and Cromwell Media are teaming up with Souls for Souls to provide a new pair of shoes to these children who are experiencing homelessness. Souls for Souls works for our schools and community partners to deliver new shoes to kids who need them the most. Newton Motor Group will be making a donation to Souls for Souls for every test drive at any of Newton Motor Group's 4 locations now through the end of the year. So keep that in mind. We need your help to give these kids the joy and confidence they deserve. More information can be found and you can donate at thegamenashville.com/shoes. When we come back, it is time for Preds Pick to Click, brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. The Predators in action tonight, taking on the New York Islanders. Be the first caller at 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025, to guess the goal scorer for the Predators tonight against New York. If you get it right, you win a pair of tickets to a future Preds home game. We'll do that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. And it is that time of the day, time for Preds Pick to Click, brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. The Preds in action tonight, taking on the New York Islanders in game 2 of their 4-game road trip. The standings in Preds Pick to Click are as such. They're tightening up a little bit. Joe Rexroad still in first place with 6 correct answers. The listeners in second with 4. And now, with Ellie Tolvanen's goal the other night, Robbie Stanley and Michelle Knezvik tied in last place with 3. So the competition heating up a little bit here on Preds Pick to Click.
You could call it tied for third place. You know what I mean?
I could.
So you don't feel so bad?
But it is
See,
last.
That's what I said. Tied for third.
There you go.
So is this the first time Michelle's been last in something?
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, that's a toughie.
I don't
lose well. Long season.
With that in mind, let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in today's participant, Caleb. Caleb, thanks for calling in. What's going on?
Hey, guys, not much. Just hanging out, getting ready to go for the game tonight.
There we go. So, Caleb, the Preds taking on the Islanders tonight. Who is your goal scorer, your pick to click tonight for the Nashville Predators?
Well, you know, it's been a couple of games since he's got on the board. I wanted to go with Shane, but I actually think I'm going to stick with Philip Forsberg tonight.
So Philip Forsberg, the selection. Caleb, we appreciate you taking time to call in.
Yeah, man. Okay, thanks, guys.
Caleb going with Philip Forsberg. Matt Duchene, he has not scored in four games. So that creates an interesting decision for our very own Joe Rexroth, who is up next in the competition. Forsberg is off the board. Joe Rexroth, your pick to click tonight for the Nashville Predators.
Is Trotz going to, like, manufacture a 1-0 game here tonight?
I think there's a chance.
I'll go Duchene.
Didn't think about it much. There you go. I like it.
I'm trying to think, you know, what is Trotz going to do to Duchene? You know, he's creating opportunities still. He's playing great. Give me Duchene.
I like it. So Forsberg and Matt Duchene off the board. What about Tolvanen last game? I'm not going with him this game. I'm going to go off the board a little bit. Give me Yakov Trenin.
Ooh.
Yakov Trenin I'm going with tonight.
All right.
I think you're going to have a physical, grimy type game tonight. And I think Yakov Trenin finds one to go in tonight. So give me Trenin. Michelle Knezvik, Trenin, Duchene, Forsberg off the board.
I swear every time I pick a player, they just score the next game.
Yep.
I'm like one game off. So usually I go Duchene, then Johansson, then Roman Josi. So I'm going to skip Johansson, and we're going to jump to Roman Josi.
There you go.
Okay?
So plus Roman Josi.
That goal the other night, just beautiful.
Yeah, it was pretty. It was a pretty goal from number 59 the other night. So Roman Josi, the selection by Michelle Knezvik. That has been Preds Pick to Click, brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. Caleb going with Philip Forsberg. Joe Rexroth selecting Matt Duchene. I went off the board with Yakov Trenin, and Michelle going with the captain, Roman Josi. Most of the time when I go off the board, it doesn't work out very well for me, but we'll see.
I like the idea, though.
Yeah. Look, we can't pick the same people every time.
You can.
You could.
At least we have, we've got two contenders for the obvious top pick. Now,
yeah.
You know?
Rather than just Callie Yarncroke, like we had last year.
That's the thing. I mean, that was off the board early last year, and then eventually it became a must-have.
I'm going to ask you the same question that I asked John Glennon a little bit earlier. He was very hesitant in his response. I'm interested to see what you think. Have you seen enough out of Matt Duchene and Ryan Johansson to believe that this is what they are and are going to be for the remainder of this season? Or do you still need to see more, like our friend John Glennon? Where do you come down on those two?
Well, I feel like with Johansson, I mean, I think it's always been there for him to play like this. It's not like he's producing at some outrageous rate or anything. And I just think he's playing his game. He's playing well. He's bringing it every night. So I think it's just a bounce back year for Ryan Johansson. Like, if he stays healthy, I don't see why it wouldn't continue. Duchene is a tougher one, just because, I mean, I don't think he'll stay on this pace, obviously. I think he'll keep playing like this. I think he's found common ground with John Hines and fully understands the expectations and all that. Like, there's no more moving people out of the lineup, taking them off the power play, whatever, right? So I want to say that, you know, this is what he's going to be. You would just expect there would be some droughts in there offensively still to go with that.
Well, the most encouraging thing is, like, right now he's not scoring his four games in a row where he's not scored a goal. Still playing pretty freaking good out there, man. I
mean, yeah, you notice him. You notice him.
Chris on the text line. Thank you, Rob, for not being like the rest of them and picking the low-hanging fruit to at least make things a little bit interesting. Joe, I hope you lose every game. It doesn't matter that you don't hardly ever win with your approach, Rob. It's okay. Thank you. So I'm getting credit for going Yakov Trenin.
The text line was nice today.
I thought that was pretty nice.
No. It's good. Hey, I give you credit, too.
Brian texting in. Go off the grid. Ben Harper scores. This is coming from Brian on the text line. What do you think of that? Ben Harper getting in there.
If I build a big enough lead, I will pick Ben Harper one game, I promise.
Will you?
Yeah.
That's what I do with pigskin pick him.
Oh, wow.
Oh, boy.
Jeez. Logan texting in. Can we get a stat check on how many games the boys have won with Ben Harper in the lineup? I was stunned the other night. He played well the other night. John Hines got on here earlier and said that was probably the best game Ben Harper's played all season, which is not a very high bar, but I believe he's right.
John Hines believes in Ben Harper. Robbie Stanley may not, but John Hines does.
I'm interested to see if Ekholm can go tonight, if Saros can go tonight, which Saros, his availability doesn't have much to do with the defense core, but if Ekholm can go tonight, like, what does your defense pairings look like? I mean, Borowiecki will move back down to third pairing, so I would assume it'd probably still be Myers at that point, depending on whether or not Benning can go because of the lefty-righty combo there. But I don't know. I'm interested to see what happens there.
Maybe this is – sorry. Maybe this
struggling
is
with that Ben
– yeah.
Headphones.
And the headphones. Ben Harper – I keep trying to make a point about Ben Harper, and I fluster myself. Maybe this is Ben Harper reaching a new level.
Dennis texting in a gif of the Herm Edwards you play to win the game speech saying, you pick the guy – most likely to score. That's the way the game's played.
Yeah. Well, look, yeah, exactly. Like, I mean, the thing is, Trennan is not – it's not a bad pick.
Thank you.
And he's been on a pretty decent sort of pace of, right, he'll get one every few games.
He's got some skill to him, man.
It's not like you're – that's a total deep cut.
Dylan texting in, let's get wild, go juice, goalie goal. And that would be something. Let's just go ahead and make that rule. If we ever pick a goalie to score and it happens, you win the competition. It's over. Like, Preds picked the click for that year, is you get 100 points.
I don't like that rule because if you're, like, way behind and you have no hope anymore, then you're just going to do that every time.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's not fun. No, I veto
you
that.
You reject that rule? Okay.
Michelle, majority rules.
Well, right now we're both in last
place.
She's
not listening. She hasn't been listening.
No, I was listening. You basically said the rule of if you pick somebody, you get 100 points. I mean,
with a goalie.
Oh, with a goalie? Yeah. Heck yeah! No, you got to risk it to get the biscuit.
That's right.
Yeah, but no. But if you're way behind and you why not just do that then? You automatically win the game. You're not going to catch up anyway.
Yeah, but the likelihood.
Yeah, I think almost zero. This is like tanking. This is like load management in
the
NBA.
Maybe 5 points. 5 points.
Yeah.
Okay, fine.
5 points.
5 points, fine.
Compromise, fellas.
Tyler from Berry Hill texting in. Ben Harper is absolute cheeks. Dog water, trash. Get that guy out of there.
Which one? That's the scale.
Tyler said all three.
Cheeks is the highest or the worst?
Cheeks is the worst.
I mean, if you're cheeks, that means you automatically are dog water and trash,
correct,
too. So.
Okay. Comes with the territory.
Yes, but just say cheeks. It's just cheeks.
When we come back, we'll switch gears and get into any other topic other than this. Got a little college football talk coming up, Yex, including an idea that's been tossed out there about maybe changing the early signing period once again. We'll get into that coming up next. Play silly underdog picks today. Pick three football underdog teams you think will win this week for a chance to win tickets to an upcoming sporting event or concert. Go to thegamenashville.com for more details and to play. Silly underdog picks presented by Volunteer Hose and Gasket. And by the way, we've got some tickets to give away to see the Vols take on Purdue at the Transperfect Music City Bowl coming up on Thursday, December the 30th. Be caller number 3 at 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Caller number 3 will win a pair of tickets to see the Vols take on Purdue at the Transperfect Music City Bowl coming up on December the 30th. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025 The Game.